On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care. What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. I am in Mitch's car with Mitch. What's up, dude?
What's up, buddy?
Long day out in Ashburn today, but a good day. We got a lot done, learned a lot. Here's where we're at, scheduling-wise. This podcast is going to come out probably Friday morning by the time we get done with it. It is dark and late, and Shover's on vacation, I think. Pete's got to edit this thing. Pete had to be in studio today for 100, so...
You were in studio as well for 100?
I was in a different studio, but yes. Yeah, that's true. So, this is going to be your podcast going into the weekend. We're going to tell you everything we think about this football game. Before we get going, want to thank the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, so you should do the same. Mitch, I got a lot on my list here. I think we got to talk about the injury situation. We got to talk about, is this a trap game? And then I got a plan for over-unders, how it unfolds, and then I want to tell everybody about the kind of sick weekend we have set up on Saturday.
Let's go.
Let's start with kind of the question I've been getting the most on Twitter, which is like, oh my gosh, this is a trap game. This is a trap game. Pete said it well on 100 that this is a game the Redskins lose. There are so many reasons you can point to. Where do you stand on, is this a trap game?
I don't know if trap games exist for NFL players. I don't think that teams look at games as trap games per se, because there's such a small difference between winning and losing in the NFL these days. And so I don't think the players look at it that way. I think from a fan's perspective, absolutely it's a trap game, because they've been programmed to think that they can't handle success.
Right.
The Redskins win, lose. And I know that it's not, you know, every time, but they're programmed that this is the type of game that in years past, when you have an opportunity to, you know, really take a big step forward in the season, that's a game that the Redskins come up short on.
Right. And it doesn't help that the team has really struggled in New York. Last year in particular, you know, losing... The Giants only won 3 games last year, and one of them came in Week 17 against the Redskins in what was arguably Kirk Cousins' worst game, if not his worst game, a bad game. I think that's a big part of the difference today as well, is that it's not... It's a whole new team, and I think fans have to try to remember that. Like, for NFL players... Every week is almost a new season in a lot of ways. Like, there's new players, there's new schemes, there's new installations offensively, defensively. And I don't believe, like, Daron Payne is not worried about Week 17 of 2017.
No.
You know, I think there are lots of similarities. Adrian Peterson was not here Week 17, 2016.
Neither was Daron Payne.
Right. Like, John Allen wasn't, you know what I mean? Right. Like, fans remember this stuff, I think, more than players do. But I want to say this, because plenty of fans are freaked out about this game, and I'll say rightfully so, and I think it's because, and we'll get into this a little later with how the game unfolds, I think the Panthers and the Cowboys, the way their offenses are set up, were actually good matchups for the Redskins' defense in that both of those teams are run-first, power football teams. Now, with mobile quarterbacks, and clearly the Giants don't have that, but the Giants are a different beast, and Odell Beckham is the most explosive player in the NFL, and Saquon Barkley looks to be on a short list of the most explosive running backs in the NFL. And that, to me, more than trap games or what's happened in the past, any of that, that is what's concerning, I think, about this contest.
9 out of 10 games.
Oh, we have a guest.
Oh, we got a guest.
John Keim is joining us in Mitch's car.
What up?
Keim, what's up, dude?
Warm.
It is warm.
It is warm. We're just getting started, and we'll tee you up on this. Trap game is the worry. Where do you stand on, is this a trap game for the Redskins Sunday?
Well, I understand the optics, and clearly for a fan, it's going to look like that. The problem that I have is that the Redskins haven't always played well up there, one.
Yep.
The Giants have been in most of their games, and these guys know it. So I think the notion of this trap game, I would be surprised if they don't take it a certain way just because professionals should know, right?
Yep.
Right.
And I think they understand it much more than what fans would look at it. And, like, to me, their games, the last two games, they could have lost both games in the last minute. So they could easily be looking at 2-4 and staring at a game ahead of the Giants.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right, right.
So I don't know that you can look at that and say, well,
I don't think the records are as relevant here,
right,
because the Skins narrowly won both of those games.
And the Giants,
they had that Eagles blowout, but it was a 60-yard field goal to lose in Carolina. And then that Falcons game Monday night was funky as hell. The Giants made that close in the end. And so I don't think trap game is the right way to look at this, but the Giants are way better than 1-6.
Correct.
And the Skins are a dicey 4-2.
And I would say if you're a Redskins fan, you should be worried, concerned, because this will be, I think, a tough game. And it is, because you think it's a game you should win. If this team has taken that quote-unquote next step, you go up there and win. But, you know, it would be very Redskins-like to have won two games in a row and lose to the Giants and then come back and beat Atlanta.
Right.
That's how,
right,
you know.
And I think the Falcons are a dangerous opponent for the Redskins.
Very dangerous.
That one I'm very curious about. But
Meadowlands is a tough place to play sometimes.
Yeah.
As I think about it.
The weather's supposed to be awful, too.
Well, so
I actually think it's better now.
It's supposed to be not too bad on Sunday. But 9 of the 10 games that the Redskins have played up there since I started covering the team, they've lost. And I was talking to Ryan Kerrigan yesterday.
Maybe it's your fault.
It must be my fault. I was talking to Ryan Kerrigan yesterday. He said two of the coldest, worst games that he's played were up there. The wind kind of swirls through there. It seems to always be like 35 degrees and raining. And it looks like we'll have a little better weather this week. But the wind is supposed to howl. And as it starts whipping through there, it's tough to throw the ball there.
It is. Well, that's a good thing why they have Adrian.
I know.
Yeah.
But the Giants aren't bad against the run either. Losing Harrison certainly takes something away from them.
It's going to look different with Snacks not in the middle. And I know Eli Apple hasn't been performing that well, but those trades have to kind of ruffle the feathers in that big blue locker room. Also, Mitch just did a really good job. I totally forgot. We have a Ryan Kerrigan interview that's also running in this podcast. So when Mitch talked to him is right when he and I, we all sat down and talked.
And speaking of, I'm sorry, two of those 9 games, one was the season finale last year where the minute the Giants had a big play, the Redskins said, screw it.
We
don't care about 8 wins. We just want to get out of here. And then there was the last game of the Shanahan era was up there as well.
In fact, those were the two games that Ryan and I talked about.
Yeah, and that was the miserable weather where they just decided, screw it, we're going to let Kirk Cousins throw 60 times.
Right. That both the 2013 game, well, that was 2013?
Yeah.
That was awful.
33 degrees and rainy and miserable and –
I rode up there with Tariq El-Bashir in one day. He rented a Volkswagen that reeked of cigarettes. We left at 6 a.m. and got back to Bethesda at like 10 p.m. That's a long damn day.
As they had Kirk throw the ball, however many times it was, 56 times or something like that, I was every single time cursing Shanahan's name under my breath on the sideline.
Oh, you just run the ball.
Just run the damn ball. Run the damn ball.
Okay. I want to go to injuries, and I'm going to preface this by saying We told you it's been a long day. Josh Norman spoke about kind of his issues with Eric Reed and what he said about Malcolm Jenkins and the Players Coalition. I'm not going to get into much of that unless you guys decide we want to or need to.
My head hurts.
Right. There's plenty of coverage on that on our website. Kime wrote about it. Lots of people are going to write about it. So look, seek that content out if you're looking for it. But because of that, this has made this a very long day. I'm not going to be out here on Friday. I have to go to New York a day early for some meetings. So we're going to run through the injury situation and what we think will happen now. Keep in mind, there is another day of practice. Things could change. So there's my caveat. We'll go up or down votes. I think Chris Thompson will play.
Can we get wiggle room or no?
No wiggle room. Okay. No wiggle room. Up or down. I think Chris Thompson will play. Mitch, what say you?
I think he plays.
Con?
Plays.
All right. I think Paul Richardson will play.
Plays.
Plays.
Jameson Crowder, no chance.
No.
Nope.
No chance. Yeah.
Quentin Dunbar, I don't see playing.
No, I agree with you. No playing.
I agree, too.
That's the run. Sean LaValle's playing. Zach Brown's playing. I don't even think those are really worth discussing unless you guys think different.
Yeah. Nope. Both playing.
Yeah. Happy. I hope Zach had a fun birthday earlier this week. Of the four guys we discussed, 10 out of 10 on the E scale. Thompson, Crowder, Dunbar, Richardson, concern missing this game. I'm putting Dunbar at the top of the list because of the explosive players on the Giants' offense. Because it's not just Odell Beckham's fantastic. Sterling Shepard's really good, too.
Correct.
The tight end?
Yeah, Ingram's great.
I mean, they treat Evan Ingram, the Falcons were talking about, they're treating Evan Ingram as a wide receiver every time that he lined up outside. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to with a guy like that. He's huge, he's quick, and he can play ball.
So who's your most concerning of these?
Oh, definitely Dunbar because of that. And I also think because long-term, for a couple of reasons. One, they've won two straight without Jameson Crowder being a part of that offense.
Or Thompson,
yeah. Right. And I think Capri Bibbs has filled in well with what he had a really nice blitz pickup the other day. I can't remember, there was a long pass play, too.
There weren't many of them.
No, there were not. But I think what they've been getting out of the slot when Jameson was in there is not a whole lot different than what they're getting out of it now. And you know, there's some things where they have the versatility to compensate, I think, for him with two, three tight end sets. I think Dunbar's a lot harder of a loss to incorporate for them, and so that's why I'd say him. And plus the weapons they have. But I also think because, you know, when you're taking him out, you're having to go with a rookie seventh-round pick in Greg Stroman.
Right.
Greg Stroman may or may not be a good player in a few years. He's learning on the fly,
right?
You know, and that's a hard thing. He is. They don't have a lot of depth.
And they had a blown coverage against the Cowboys. Not very good receivers.
Yeah.
If that happens with this Giants crew,
Charlie
Casserly said the Giants have a better receiving group than the Saints, and the Saints were able to get open. Now, granted, there was a lot going on in that New Orleans game, and I think this is a different team now. But I don't know.
Drew Brees too.
Sure. I think until we see Alex Smith take the next step, leading the offense, it's hard to say that any of the players missing on the offensive side of the ball, unless it's Adrian Peterson, are going to be more important than a depleted secondary. Because,
correct,
like you guys said, Stroman or Adonis Alexander or whoever ends up playing in that corner position, that's trouble. I mean, there's no good matchups for the Redskins when it comes to their fourth and fifth corners having to be out there.
And like with a guy like Odell Beckham too, because now, when they played these guys 2 years ago in Josh Norman covered them all over the place. He didn't get that matchup last year. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe they would go to something like that, because if you're just going to keep Josh on one side and Dunbar's not there, you need to make sure that Stroman can handle a guy like this.
For sure.
And one thing that Norman can one of the things Norman can do against him is to be physical. Dunbar can be physical. That's not Stroman's game. And
right,
that's a way that you can throw him off at least a little bit.
Well, also, when you talk about their physicality, it's helping in the run game.
Run game.
I mean, Norman does a great job of getting up there and making tackles, but
so does Moreau, by the way.
I get real nervous about thinking about Stroman one-on-one with Saquon.
Stroman was physical, though. I mean, the hit he put on Dak, I think of your concerns with Stroman, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
But, yeah, I think the Dunny situation, and Kyme, I think you touched on it. Like, we don't know what's going to happen there, not just week 8, but week 10, week 12.
Right. I think that's, to me, the really big concern is also would be the following week against Atlanta.
Falcons for sure.
Because now you got Julio and Kelvin. You got
Tampa
size,
too.
Man.
Tampa too. Also. Yeah, yeah. With Deshaun and Evans.
Well, yeah. I mean,
which I'm sure there are a lot of people listening saying trade for a
They are. You know they're
screaming at their.
They should be looking at all options.
I think the cornerback situation now, because of the uncertainty with Dunbar, makes more sense to be looking at options of trades than even the receiver does. Because I don't know that the receiver they would add could be a game changer or really make that big of an impact.
I think
right
it
away.
Goes back to what Mitch said about Alex Smith. Until you get, because right now, I mean, listen, part of me just says right now you got this receiver core that I think you almost want them to be as strong run blocking as you do anything else, because that's where, you know, and you saw, we've seen runs each of the last couple of weeks where they've, you know, Peterson has gotten 10, 12 extra yards because of Michael Floyd in a block by Maurice Harris, or I think when Trey Quinn
comes
back.
Josh Doctson had a good one down the field last
week.
Doctson's
been solid blocking. He's been real solid blocking. He always has been. And so I think when Quinn comes back, whenever that is the next couple weeks, he'll help there too.
Yep.
So I think you're right.
For his size, he's tough.
Yeah, and I think you're right. If you're looking to add somebody, you know, corner.
One quick thing.
Quick.
Level of concern you can kind of tell is how often do we see Jay Gruden go over to the injured field to check up on a player who's over there? And he went over there and was talking to Dunny during the open portion of practice, and that's not something
while Dunbar was working out with medical staff on the practice field where injured players are. I tell you what, Mitch will worry you, and I'll give you a little bit of good news then. We've seen Crowder in the locker room a few times this week. No Scooter, no Boot. So I still think I kind of think he's 2 weeks away, but he is trending in a better direction than what we saw when he was in a Scooter and a Boot, or riding a Scooter and a Boot.
Yeah, and you have no idea how badly I want to make a joke about Rich and being on a Scooter. And so, Rich, if you're listening, you heard that.
I know, man. All of this is still strange.
Yeah, and not to segue back to something else, but yes, I think that's a good sign. And Jay even said a week or two ago that he thought it would be a few weeks.
Right.
And so we're still on that pace.
All right. Real quick, I want to thank the good folks, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. Go check out Oarsman Ford Lincoln of Alexandria. Their address is 6129 Richmond Highway in Alexandria. And here's what you should do, Mitch.
Tell me.
You can like Oarsman Ford Lincoln of Alexandria on Facebook. Go like their Facebook page. They got a cute picture of a teddy bear. They got a picture of a Lincoln. Those Lincoln SUVs are pretty dope.
The Lincoln MKZs, they're
do they still make that like Lincoln truck? That's pretty awesome.
How about the Toyota Tundra?
Yeah, Tundra's great.
I was walking those today because I've been on the other. It's like
you're a Tacoma guy.
I am, but I kind of like the Tundra too. Yeah. You know, you look at me and you think burly truck, don't you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah.
lifts wheels the whole nine.
Yeah, like Tarek's truck.
Yeah.
It's time for over-unders, and recognizing this is a little different, but it's a fun segment that we've been doing a long time, and we're going to keep doing it. As far as what the bet is and who are we squared off against, we're all just going to kind of do it and have fun with it. So we need to set over-under for Alex Smith passing yards. These totals have been ugly low the last few weeks. I think we set it at something like 220.
Yeah.
Does that seem about right?
Yeah.
And since we're doing everything in one day, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to say under.
I'm going to go over. Everything points to under, so I'm going over because it's the NFL and who the hell knows what's going to happen.
Kai?
Yeah, I'm going to still go under just because they do a pretty good job against receivers and, you know, and they also do, their pass defense has been pretty good against receivers, backs. Tight ends would be the one to watch, I think, this week. But yeah,
I feel like Vernon could have a decent
day.
Yeah,
I think so. I think I'm looking at 210. So.
I also think if Chris comes back, which I think we all said he would, I think he has a pretty good opportunity here to make some plays.
Well, and yeah.
All right, Adrian Peterson rush yards. He's been just under 100 the last couple of weeks, like 97, 99. You know, the Skins are absolutely going to try to establish AP right away. I think we got to set this thing around 90. I don't know. You think that's too high?
I think that's a little high.
Yeah.
85?
I had 78 in my head as the number. What do you think, John?
I'd go 78, 80. I'm okay with that.
All right, let's go 80.
I like 78. It's all right, a little more interesting.
Yeah, 80's too round.
All right, Kaim, you go first then.
I'll go over because if I'm picking them to win, and Alex Smith is going to go under 220, then I think he'll go.
Yards got to come somewhere. Yeah. Mitchell?
I'm going to go under. Jay talked earlier this week about the breakdown in first, the breakdown of first down runs versus passes.
And you believed him?
Talked a little about wanting to get that. We know how much Jay wants to throw the ball, right?
Not on first
He's
down.
He's been good about it.
He doesn't want
I know, but even first. Like even when Kirk was throwing, I mean, how many attempts did Kirk have the year he almost got to 5,000 passing yards?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he had 600 attempts
say,
or something,
but
still they ran the ball on first down.
I'm going to laugh this AP under to the bank because Alex Smith is going to throw for a bunch of yards.
And you know what? Mitch is like really confident on this, and that kind of shakes me a little bit. But the other thing with
false bravado.
Well, the other thing, the reason why, and I, the first down stuff, they've actually been running well on first down this year. Last year, I thought they were bad on it.
Right.
They stuck with it. This year, I don't blame them. They're getting 3-4 yards and controlling the ball, putting themselves in good spots, and it's working. So I don't mind it. So that's why I think they'll stick with it. But
all right. So I am going over. I think Peterson gets to 90, 95. I kind of think that's where he is now. The third one is always sent in from listeners. So I posted on Twitter. We get a ton of responses. I'm going to try to power through a bunch of these. A lot of them are like Eli jokes. So over under sacks on Eli. I think that's pretty good. But you'd have to set it at like 3.5 or something.
I would say, because I'm thinking 4, but yeah. I think the interior is going to hurt him big time.
Over under Eli pouts. Josh Norman, 0.5 fumbles forced. Skins wide receiver catches could be pretty interesting. Odell Beckham, 6.5 catches. That's from Free David Johnson.
How about my guy OBJ lined up head up against Stroman or Danny Johnson over under 4.5?
Oh.
Alex Smith passing touchdowns from Steve Draft. If it was at 2,
half.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Shit.
I think 2 is
hard not to take the under.
Yeah.
From at Vinny Vici, Odell acting like a crybaby over under 1.5. I like this from at Real Talk with Chute and Jack. Over under skins force turnovers 2. That doesn't have to be the official.
That's a good one.
How about turnover margin?
I like that. My boy Nate says 4.5 times Eli has to pull chunks of turf out of his helmet.
If he's pulling chunks of that turf, that's
They play on they don't play on natural grass up there. That'd be interesting.
So I kind of like this one, but I'd have to double check. Over under 3 Redskins points in the third quarter. They've been bad in the third quarter.
They have.
I'm going.
You're going under?
I think 3.5. So then I can go under and say 3.
This is from Jack. He says 2.5 references to Kirk Cousins being bad against the Giants. I think we've already gone over in this podcast.
Yeah.
More over-under stuff. Do we want to do sacks or do you want to do turnovers? Or, dude, a bunch of people have been saying Saquon Barkley yardage. That might be more fun.
I think that's good because what are they saying for the yardage?
At Green Buffalo 47 says over-under 80 yards.
For the record, the Redskins.
And it's got to be total yards, not just rush yards, I think.
Oh, if it's total yards for him, then that's different.
It's got to be higher than 80.
Let's do that then. Let's set it.
Total yards?
For the record, the Redskins have exactly 6 points in the third quarter this year.
Yeah.
Oof,
2 field goals.
That is terrible.
But in fairness, they were really good field goals.
Preston Smith and Alex Smith have the same amount of second half touchdowns this season.
Yep.
How about that?
That's a great stat.
Barkley total yards, 115?
115?
Is that too high?
Let's see. He's averaging probably – got about 900 total yards this year.
In seven games?
What's the math?
I'm not a math guy.
125.
Yeah, I have a calculator.
That's 925.
I think 150 – you think that's too high?
No, I think 115 is good.
It's about 128.5 is the
– So do you want to make it 120 then?
120.
Or should we just do the damn average? 128.
Do the average.
Let's do the average. But I'm definitely going under on the average. But if you guys aren't, then let's do the average.
Let's do the average.
I mean, that's the math, right?
Yeah.
I already kind of started. I'm going under. I think the Redskins have done such a good job of limiting Zeke and Christian McCaffrey. I think they are able to limit him on the ground. I still think he makes some big plays as a pass catcher in space. But I think we're looking at under 100 total yards for Saquon. Wow. I think Odell's going to be the big problem. So I'm going under.
I'm going to go under, but I think he'll get to about 120. I think it'll be close. I'm going 50 rushing, 70, you know, 70 plus receiving, but not more than 78 and a half receiving.
Ooh, juicy. I mean, Mitchell?
I think it's a big week for Daron Payne and for John Allen and company up front. I think this is a little bit of a different beast than Zeke or Christian McCaffrey were, just because I think he's a little more of a...
The offense is different.
It's different, but I also think he's a little bit more of a pounder of a running back than those two guys are.
Not than Zeke.
But definitely than Christian.
Sure.
And I think he provides a little more wiggle in the pass game.
For sure.
And they use
so
him
what are
well.
You? What's your answer here? Are you going over?
In the interest of being different, I think I'm going to go over. I think he's going to have one big long touchdown pass reception, maybe going 65 yards or so. So I think he's going to get about 85, 90 receiving and 75 rushing, 70 rushing.
All right, you're going over big time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a math guy, but I think that was like 150.
Well, I think the Redskins are going to put a lot of resources towards making sure that OBJ doesn't beat him deep, as he has every game.
And not only him, but there is a lot of other talent for them to contend
with
in the pass game that they can lose. Because when you watch Barkley, too, they do a good job getting him out in space. And if you don't have another guy there, and it, you know, whoever's coming up to tackle him, if you don't have another guy there, it's going to be a problem. And the other thing, like the one thing that he really does well, and this will be interesting to watch, is how he runs out of the nickel. They use a lot of three-receiver packages, and he gets over 5 yards of carry out of that look. These guys have done pretty well against that, but he is so good at planning and cutting in that that's going to be a big challenge.
Daron and John have both done a great job in the screen game.
Yes.
And I think that's going to be a big point this weekend because they love throwing those little screens to Saquon.
All right, we've teased a lot of this, and we can be even quickish. I think this is how it unfolds, brought to you by Rich Taylor's Lazy Boy. Mitch, how does it unfold?
I think we're going to see the Redskins' offense break out a little bit. I think we're going to see Alex play his best game to date.
Better than that Packers game?
As a total package, yes. Okay. Not better than that first half, but as a total package, yes. And I think we're going to see the Redskins win a game something in the 27-24-21 rate. So 27-21 Redskins.
Kyle?
Let's see. Weird things happen up there. So, you know, I think that's one thing they have to guard. It's like every time they go up there and lose, there's always something weird that happens early in the game, whether it's a bounce, punt, you know, something off that. I think they'll get
RG3
rid of...
RG3 fumble going into the end zone.
Yeah, the touchback.
Which he still defended, and the coaches hated, by the way. Oh, I almost got it. No, you didn't. Almost doesn't count in this league. But I do think that they're going to be able to take control of this game. I am expecting a big play by the Giants early, whether it's by Beckham or Barkley. And I think that's going to challenge these guys for the first time, where I think they may actually trail in a game they end up winning. So I think Alex Smith has done a good job the last week of taking care of the ball. I think he was better at seeing some guys last week, still leaving stuff out there. But I still think it's an AP game. I'm going to go 21-17. I like what the defense is doing a lot, especially not just Payne and Allen, but Ioannidis.
Agreed. Last week I said it was first team to 20 wins. I was proven correct. I think this week you go to 28 is what you need to win. I think the Giants will make explosive plays, whether that I just expect Beckham to do it because he always does it. But I think they will have big plays. But outside of big plays, I think their offense will be totally inept because of pressure on Eli and the inability to run the football.
And that red zone stuff for both these teams, man.
Right.
Both these teams,
I think the Skins have to be better in the red zone. It's almost impossible not to be. So I think we're all predicting it pretty close.
Yeah.
I'm going to say like 28-24, and Skins win, and I'm definitely predicting the Falcons a loss the following week because I feel like I keep predicting wins, and eventually. One thing, Mitch made a note about this. The line on this thing is funky as hell. It is a pick'em game, despite the Skins being 4-2, the Giants being 1-6.
Giants trading away two named players that people recognize.
And I pulled this up. The Bears are 7.5-point favorites at home against the Jets. There are other kind of road favorites, and it just is a weird line. And I'll add this, and this is just if you're not into the gambling stuff, forgive me.
Smith effect?
It may, who knows, man? It might be. But 84% of the tickets on this game, of people making bets, are on the Redskins, but 60% of the cash is on the Giants. So the people that make big bets, typically known as like the sharps in Vegas, they're on the Giants for this game, which is just an interesting something to think about.
That's definitely a noticeable betting trend that a lot of people follow when you see a high percentage of bets on one team,
yep,
but the higher percentage of money on the other.
Yep.
Usually that team with a higher percentage of money is where the smart bet,
right,
smart money is.
And it's not like this is about points because it's a pick 'em game. That means
exactly.
A lot of those folks think the Giants are going to win. So consider all that. All right, before we get to the Kerrigan interview, I want to real quick thank the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia one more time. Go check them out. And I want to talk about our plans for Saturday, which actually, Kaim, I have a question for you. We're starting the day. This sounds like a pretty sick day.
Yo, it's going to be a sick day.
I'm going to New York tomorrow. Mitch is coming up Saturday. We're starting the day. We have one of our awesome listeners who's also the ambassador to Brooklyn is Chef Jack.
Chef Jack Harris.
Chef Jack Harris is the executive chef at the Fairfax. Is that right?
The Fairfax and Bar Sardine in New York.
So we are going to have lunch brunch.
Lunch brunch.
I hope we're allowed to talk about this, Chef Jack. We are now.
It's going to be part of our check-in.
Yeah, we're going to do like some video stuff from there. So we're going there around 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Yep.
Which you're invited to, Kaim. I don't know your travel schedule. Then, dear friend of the podcast, Rudy, at DC Barno on Twitter, is having his...
He'll appreciate the plug.
Is having his 40th birthday. So we're going to a bar called Pier A, which is right on the Hudson River, I think.
Beautiful.
At 6 o'clock for a party, which, again, you're invited to, Kaim.
I might hit that one.
And then...
You have to come in your best Halloween costume, though.
No, you don't. And then...
I had him going!
You said there was a costume.
That'd be tremendous if you did. Were you actually going to show up in a costume?
I was going to make a joke and it would be bad, and I'd say no, I wasn't.
Kaim's holding back today.
Yeah. We got a subdued Kaim.
And then kind of the big event of the evening, which is just...
La Resistance?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to say his name because I'm not sure if I'm supposed to. One of our best listeners and a good friend is taking... Me, are you allowed to talk about that we're going to this?
Yeah.
Okay. Me, Mitch, and Kaim are going, and Pete, I believe.
And Pete.
Yep. Are going to.
Wait, Pete's going?
Yeah, I know. It's questionable. Are going to the Billy Joel concert at Madison Square Garden. We're sitting in a suite thanks to a very generous and great listener and a great dude. And if he wants us to tell his name, we certainly will, but I'm going to abstain.
Which I'm about 180 out of 10 excited for.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, my God. This is like...
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I cannot wait for that. I've seen Billy Joel before. He's awesome. But seeing him in New York...
You've seen him in Nats Park a few years ago, right?
I did
after
not. Him? I've only seen him once at Verizon's or Capital One Center.
Yeah. I saw him in Nats Park one time. I couldn't be more excited.
I have not seen him, and I can't wait. And it's funny because, like... Billy Joel was, when you're growing up, he's a big deal.
Yeah.
And then I got away from him a little bit, and the last couple of years, like, God, he's such a great musician.
Right.
And I'm glad I've gotten back into him.
Right, right. Even Pete, the millennial that doesn't know anything prior to 2010, knows some Billy Joel songs and is excited about this. So we're fired up. If you are a listener and are around at any of those events, say hello. I think that's it. Anybody else have anything to add? Or on to Kerrigan?
On to Kerrigan.
You all right?
Kerrigan.
What was that?
I'm trying to hold back on the rich cough, which is going to come the second that we throw to Kerrigan.
All right, time to go to Kerrigan. Thanks for listening. Leave those coughs in. What up, everybody? Your breakout game of the 2018 season comes against the Dallas Cowboys. You get the strip sack touchdown to win that game. How are you feeling about this football team, 4-2, your defense really coming together, going to New York?
Well, I think more than anything, I like our response after a really bad game against the Saints. You know, back-to-back weeks, we've, you know, held some pretty good rushing teams to a low rushing total, and you know, held the point total down significantly from what we had against New Orleans. So I like our response in that regard, but we're still really early in the season. We got a lot of football ahead of us. We're in a good position now, but now it's only going to get more difficult from here, so we just got to keep working and keep trying to improve.
You're a veteran with this team. How good is this defense compared to other units?
Yeah, it's definitely one of the better ones that we've had since I've been here. I mean, with the guys we have on the interior, I mean, we got a chance to be really good and do some really special things this year. Like I said, we got to just keep working, keep trying to get better and to improve and to not be satisfied, because we're only six games in. We got a long way to go in this thing.
You talked about the guys on the interior. What do you think of these young guys? I mean, you can't leave Matt Ioannidis out of the equation, but then John Allen, Deron Payne are really playing some high-level football.
Yeah, you certainly can't leave Matt out. He's got three sacks. He's, you know, really been a force in the run game, and you know, obviously in the pass game with his pass rushing. But Matt and John and Deron are tremendous players. You see why Alabama is what they are in football every year, is because they got players like that in the trenches, and hopefully they can keep it up because they've been really impressive so far.
Now, if I had to wager on this, I'm guessing you'll take your normal spot at the top eventually. But is it weird for you looking up in the sack column at other guys?
A little bit. But I mean, it's sacks will—they'll come. Like I've said all season, it's—they tend to come in waves, and they're a weird thing where it's like sometimes you can rush really great and not get a sack. Sometimes you're not rushing so great, but you come unblocked and get a free sack. So. It's just the way that that stat works at times, unfortunately, but it's got to keep working.
Well, and going to New York, where that Giants offensive line is not protecting Eli very well, do you get up for that a little bit more and look at the opportunity? I don't know if you watched the Monday night game, but Eli's getting hit a lot.
Well, we look at it as we, with all the skill players they have in New York, we have to be a force this week up front if we're going to win this game. They got one of the best skill units in all of football with, you know, Beckham, Shepard, Ingram at tight end, who's, you know, I think a really going to be a really good player in this league. Obviously Barkley. So we got our hands full with those guys in the skill position. So we know up front we got to, you know, work to, you know, make it happen for our guys in the back end.
And one thing I'm not sure that fans totally understand, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but it seems to me that a lot this season the focus has shifted towards stopping the run and really kind of selling out in that regard, that there aren't many blitzes. A lot of times I feel like it's just a four-man rush. It's just you and Preston, and then most of the time Payne and Allen on the inside. Do you feel like your job has become more focused on setting that edge and playing the run? Has the defensive scheme become that way?
I mean, it's kind of been that way, but I mean, I think there's just a greater emphasis on it this year. We were obviously last in the run defense last year, so we knew we needed to fix that. If we weren't, we're gonna, you know, be a better defense and be a better football team. And so far, we've done that. We've done a good job against the run. We just you know, gotta continue work to improve in that area, but also work to, you know, get home on the four-man rush a little more.
And then with you and Preston, were you jumpy a little bit that he got to score the touchdown and you didn't against Dak?
Oh, not at all. I was just glad somebody was there. I mean, because I felt my hand push the ball out, and after that I'm just thinking hopefully one of our guys is there, and luckily Preston was right there to scoop it up. And you know, it's funny, we do a drill to, you know, pick up balls in the open field every day. We've done it every day for OTAs. We did it all last year. We do it all this year. And, you know, we've had opportunities in two games now this year, with the Saints game where Pernell McPhee had a, you know, fumble recovery scoop right in the open field. Preston had that one. It's awesome to see drill work that we've done so many times translate from the practice field to the game field.
I bet. This team has struggled in New York. Does that carry over at all? The Meadowlands has not been good to the Redskins over the years. Do you think about that going into new season, new game?
Not at all. We just know we got to go in and take care of business. We got to go in and execute and just focus on beating them. I don't think any of us are thinking about last year's game we went there or any other subsequent years. We're just focusing on this year.
I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about your alma mater. You are a Purdue Boilermaker through and through. You wear the gear in the locker room. A huge win last weekend over Ohio State. But if I had to guess, what's more important to you is the work with the young student Tyler there. If you can, just tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah, Tyler's a Purdue student who's had a rough go of it, battling cancer now for the fourth time. And he's a guy that has been deeply passionate about all things Purdue, especially Purdue athletics, and Purdue athletics in return and the university have really embraced him and, you know, kind of promoted him and the you know, the positivity and the way, in the up way that he's uplifted the Purdue community. And it was just awesome to see, because he wasn't sure if he was going to get to go to the Purdue and Ohio State game, and so for him to be able to go and then for them to, you know, beat Ohio State the way they did, it was just it was really like a fairy tale kind of thing where, you know, how it worked out.
Do I have it right that you made a donation to kind of help all that happen?
I donated my jersey from the Cowboys game. We sent that over to him after the game on Sunday. I just wanted to show him a little bit of my appreciation for, you know, how good of an ambassador he is for Purdue and the positivity that he's brought to Purdue. And I felt like it was the least I could do for a guy that's, you know, going through a tough time, and a guy who, like I said, has represented my alma mater so well.
It's very cool, and knowing you a little bit, it's not the least bit surprising. You're a generous person. I wanted to tell you that it meant a lot to me that you came to the viewing for Rich Tandler, our coworker that passed away. You didn't have to do that. You did that on your own time, and just shows that you're a classy person.
Well, Rich, as we've all said, Rich was a, you know, valuable member of our community. You know, a fixture here at Redskins Park ever since I've been here, and a guy that I'm definitely going to miss seeing around. So it was like what Tyler is, the least I could do is, you know, go pay my respects.
So I really just have two more things. Are they still holding you on every play?
I feel like on some, yeah, I'm still, you know, not getting the call.
What do you say to the refs?
I mean, a lot of times I'm pretty tired, so I don't really have much to say. But other than that, it's usually some not really kind words,
yeah,
words that I can't really repeat right now.
Not on television.
Yeah, but it's part of the game.
Do your teammates know, like, when you're watching film, what is the film room like? Because half the offensive tackles in this league have you in a chokehold.
I mean, it happens to other guys too. I mean, Preston was showing me a picture of him kind of in the same kind of predicament. So you just you got to keep working through it. I mean, we got one holding call the other day with we got a couple. I think they called one. A
couple
for Preston,
big ones too.
For now, so we got a couple, which, I mean, is more than usual.
Yeah, for sure. You are the NFL's Iron Man. You are certainly this team's Iron Man. Never miss a start. The injuries are starting to pile up this time of year. It's just what happens in this sport. How are you feeling?
I feel pretty good. I had a little rib thing past couple weeks, but, I mean,
calling that little, I saw the bruise in the locker room. That was not little, dude.
Yeah, it would.
It was very big.
Yeah, I mean, it's not so bad, though. I mean, it's just all about getting the treatment on it, which that's a welcome thing this time of year, is any kind of TLC for an injury. So, but I'm good. You know, I don't anticipate it holding me back.
Last one. You ready to be a dad?
Oh yeah, I'm pumped. My wife and I are really fired up for our little one to get here, and it's gonna be awesome. You know, just talking to other guys who are dads, they got me fired up it got me fired up for the experience. So I'm ready.
There's nothing like it. I have a 3-year-old, and you can't. Once it happens, then you kind of get it.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
But does Andrew Walker know that he loses his bedroom at the Kerrigan Estate?
Well, I don't know how I'm going to break that to him, and if you're watching,
he's listening. We're going to run this in the podcast, so he'll hear this.
Andrew, there's never a good time to let you know. Sorry.
He did pretty well to get to still come hang around once you got married. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, my wife has kind of shut down the, like, boys staying over business.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, I imagine, you know, the boys will still be coming around the house, but, I mean, I imagine, you know, with the little one on the way, that'll...
You got to be a lot quieter.
A lot quieter.
Ryan, thank you very much.
Bye.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.